Welcome to Her Healthful. My name is Araste, and thank you for tuning in. I was planning to post this episode last week, but it basically didn't save, and I was so annoyed. But we are back recording it again, and it's just going to be better this time anyways. So I'm excited for what's to come in this episode. I feel like it's something that could be really helpful for all of us. As you can tell from the title, it's going to be on how to basically take care of your mental health when you're on a budget, because there is so much out there and it seems like we need to spend a lot to take care of ourselves. But hopefully by the end of the episode, I will convince you that you do not need to do that and you can take care of yourself while also trying to save money, because Lord knows that we are going through a recession slash it's looming, and I don't want to be the person who brings that up all the time, but it is a reality, and at the same time, it's something that's really going to affect us all mentally, because financial stress is so real, and it's something we need to talk about more. So before I get into the topic and some really helpful tips, I'm going to quickly talk about my rose thorn bud. And so many of you will already know what my rose is, especially if you follow me on Instagram. You will know that exactly 9 days ago, I got a little kitty, and this was kind of a whirlwind of a process, but her name is Clover, and she is 3 months old. She's a rescue kitten. She's a medium-haired tabby. So, you know, tabbies are pretty common. I'm sure you can kind of picture her, but if you can't, you have to definitely go to my Instagram to see just how precious she is. She is just perfect. So basically, we've been planning to get a cat for a little while now, probably since like the fall, and really kind of thinking about it more in the winter. And James was pretty against it because he's more of like a dog person, but a dog is just too much work and I don't really want one in a condo. Cats are way more low maintenance and just more chill. And I've never had a pet before, but like we all know that. But we weren't seriously looking. We were just always talking about getting one. And, you know, people would ask me when you're getting one. And I was just like, you know, I don't know. We haven't really started looking. School's obviously picking up. And I was like, I don't know if this is the right time to get a pet. Like, I don't know. It's never going to be the right time. But that was kind of what I was telling myself. And then one of my friends messaged me and she sent me a picture of this cat from a pet store. And I was like, on my period that day, I was like so sad and just like going through, you know, that first day period feel. And then when she sent that picture, my other friend Noam was like, hey, like you wanna go on a walk? Like it'll make you feel better, whatever. And I was like, let's also stop at this pet store. I just wanna see this cat. And then we went, saw this cat, and it was the cutest thing ever. I was like, literally, it ignited a spark in me to finally start looking for a cat for real. But that one was just like speaking to me. So I go home and I tell James, I'm like, okay, we have to meet this cat tomorrow. And then we did that. We were like so set. And before going to the pet store, I literally called. I wanted to make sure nobody had adopted her yet. And I was like, hey, I just saw this cat yesterday and I just wanted to make sure she's still available because I'm on my way to the store right now. And they were like, yeah, all good. You know, we're open till 9, like make your way here whenever. So we did, and it's raining outside. We're like trekking there. We're both hangry because it's around dinner time. We go, we see her. Her name was Comet, and she was so cute. And then the worker there who I was talking to on the phone earlier, like she was on the phone with somebody else. And it was really strange because they were talking about the cat, but I don't know, it just didn't give me the vibe that she was available. So long story short, she was not available. Apparently, the person who like gives the pet store the rescue cats, like he had already arranged with somebody else, another couple, and they were approved to get her. So basically the pet store is like the middleman for the shelter and people who want to adopt. And I, of course, being on my period, I was devastated. I was like so sad. I was crying because I was like so set on getting this cat. And if I didn't see her a second time, like it would have been fine, but it was just like it got my hopes up. So I was really upset. I was like, I'm never gonna find a cat. And even though that was the first one I had seen, I was like down in the dumps. But the pet store gave me the number of this guy who works at a shelter, and she told me they just got 3 new kittens. You know, I'll just give you his number in case you're interested. Me in my head, I was like, no way am I gonna be interested. Fast forward, the next day, reluctantly texted the guy just asking for pictures of the kittens and wasn't really serious about it. He showed some pictures and was like, we're in Whitby, which is like just outside of the city, and they go up for adoption officially on Monday, but you can come see the kittens earlier because they're going to be popular. Like when we put them up, you know, they're probably going to go pretty soon. So we just went the next day. It was a Saturday. We had nothing else to do. And then of course, this was not just a meet and greet. This was a meet and let's take her home. So there was 3 kittens and they were all rescues. And they were found like in a feral cat colony, which sounds so intense, but basically it's just like a group of feral cats. And they were covered in fleas and mites and were not having the best first month of life, clearly. But you know, they were all cleaned, vaccinated, like all good, just very scared and anxious of people, understandably. And then, yeah, little Clover, whose name was actually, I think, Rocky. I think the guy named them Stone, Pebble, and Rocky, and he literally named them that day. So he's like, they are not attached to their names, like name her whatever you want. She was like the one that was speaking to me, and I wanted a girl cat for sure. So we're like, okay, we're not driving back and forth. We're taking her right now. And thankfully, we had actually drove past a pet store. So we're like, okay, let's go back, get some stuff, food, litter, you know, the basics. And we just booked it and we took her. And I'm officially a cat mom and I'm so happy. I also feel like winter is the best time for this to happen because I'm inside all the time anyway. And it's just like petting her and cuddling her is so nice. And like, she's just so tiny right now and I want to keep her tiny forever, even though I know that's not gonna happen. But yeah, it's been like 9 days. She's still kind of skittish and scared, but she is definitely warming up to us and she is really progressing a lot since day one. So I'm very proud of her. And there's just gonna be daily pictures of Clover every day on my Instagram. So follow me there if you don't already. And if you want some serotonin from this cute ass kitten I have. But yeah, that's definitely my rose for like the whole year, I think. I am just so happy. So yeah, things happen for a reason. I didn't get that other cat because I was supposed to get Clover, and now I ended up with the cat I was supposed to get. So my thorn, I guess for the past 2 weeks, because I didn't post a pod last week, honestly, it is the weather. And just January in general, I think it was a really weird month for a lot of us. And I kind of felt like I was in a simulation, like literally every day, at least during the week, it looks the same. In terms of what it looks like outside, it's always cloudy and gray. And I'm kind of doing the same things every day, especially working from home. You know, I go to the same coffee shops, I'm kind of working on the same things for my thesis, and there's some variability, but I don't know, January just felt so weird and I'm excited for it to be over. There's only, I think, 2 more days left. So yeah, February, not gonna lie, it is also a tough month because I think that is really when people, including myself, are over winter. We're off the New Year's high, you know, it's really just miserable. But you know what? We are gonna make it through. Winter is almost half done, and I think 2 weeks ago, it was the last ever 4 p.m. sunset. So like 4, I don't know, 58 or whatever. And so we are in the 5 p.m.s now, and that is progress. And then my bud, what I'm looking forward to, I think what I'm looking forward to is, I feel like I have nothing to look forward to because usually I'm just like, I'm going on this trip or that trip and I'm not going on any trips. because I have so much to do with school. Honestly, I am excited to graduate, and I know that's kind of far off, but it has been very salient in my mind lately. It's just something, it's always like a topic of conversation with people and kind of my biggest goal right now. So I'm sorry if that is a but I repeat every week, but it has just been on my mind and we are working towards it. But it is one of those things where some PhDs, you've probably heard, stay in school forever. And that's because their projects are taking forever or their writing is taking forever. And it is something that you kind of pace yourself. So I just want to make sure I don't take longer than I need to, you know? But anyways, I am going to actually mention one other quick rose because I forgot to mention this and I can't not mention it. I was at an event the other day and I was actually asked to be a panelist, which usually I would be like, no, I don't like presentations, I don't like public speaking, but 2023, we are doing uncomfortable things. So I did it and I met so many of you, and it was just an experience that showed me that I can do uncomfortable things, you know? So I feel like, yeah, it's important to do that to prove to yourself what you're capable of. And I was hella nervous, but I feel like everybody thought that I was a pro who always does presentations. And I was like, are you kidding me? My heart was beating outside of my chest. And if you could feel my hands right now, they are so clammy. But that just goes to show that what you feel is not always how you're being perceived. But yeah, I had to mention that because I know I would forget to next week. So thankful if you came. More to come. Okay, so let's get into today's topic. This is going to be a bit of a shorter episode, but I promise it will be helpful. So how to take care of your mental health on a budget? Super important because all of us have to take care of our mental health, but it shouldn't come with a price tag. So I'm going to give you 5 tips that I think are probably the most helpful, at least for me, and I will just get into it. So first one, if we're talking about therapy and how expensive it can be, looking into less expensive therapy and medication options is going to be huge. It might take a bit more work. Like, for example, if you're with an insurance company through school or work, or just like your personal insurance, you might have to do some work to find out who is actually covered with your insurance, because not everyone will be, but it can knock like $200 from your session and you might have to copay only $30. So it might be really worth it to kind of do that extra work. Also, I think I mentioned this in one other episode before, but there are some psychiatrists and therapists who offer discounted rates for people who can't afford what they normally charge. So this is usually called sliding scale. And if you ever see that on someone's website, you know that it's referring to that. So never be afraid to ask a potential therapist whether they have a sliding scale option, because A, it never hurts. You might as well, you know, see if they do, and usually they do. And if so, let them know. Let them know that you would love to see them, but you can't afford their full price. And another thing with therapy is if you still really can't afford one-on-one therapy, group therapy. It's something that doesn't get talked about a lot, and I know it's not the popular option, but it is so much cheaper. And it is like you and a few other people who are seeing the same therapist together, but it might also help you, you know, connect with others who are struggling with the same things, and you're paying less, but they're still super helpful and they are backed by research, and you know, you will get value out of it. Okay, the second tip is to try helping yourself. And I'm not saying to do everything on your own and not reach out to people, because that is one of my future tips. But there are, you know, self-help books and the whole genre of self-help, but it goes kind of bigger than that. But self-help goes beyond just books. There are so many resources out there There are workbooks online that are, you know, signed off by really credible associations like APA or Association for Behavioral and Cognitive Therapies, and they are similar tools to what you would maybe get in a CBT session or other forms of therapy. So it's like you can access the homework that you might get for free. And of course, this is going to require some initiative and some discipline for you to actually go through with it. But if you really are struggling, then this can be something that helps. And of course, journaling totally counts as self-help. And if you're into that, there are specific prompts that might help with depression or trauma and actually allow you to reflect and process what you've been through without having, you know, somebody there to tell you to do it. So, of course, you need to be cautious with what's online and make sure that there aren't these sweeping generalizations of people saying these journal prompts are going to change your life and, you know, these workbooks are good for everybody. They're never going to be good for everybody. So just like be a little cautious. And also, there are apps. I forgot to mention that. There are meditation apps. There are emotion trackers. So those are really helpful for kind of learning where your triggers lie. And so you track your mood or your emotions on a day-to-day basis, and it pings you. Some apps ping you to tell you to do it, and it literally takes 10 seconds. And then you can kind of keep track of what happened that day, and, you know, did you get into any fights with your partner? Did something happen at work? And over time, like over a few weeks, you can see if there's patterns. And that way you're learning about yourself and kind of what makes you more anxious or mad or puts you in a depressive state. Okay, tip number 3 is to set boundaries. And I've said this before, but you need to tell people in your life what you need to feel safe and comfortable. And so you have to set boundaries with people who maybe aren't adding to your life and maybe they're a bit toxic for you. So the people who put you down or make you feel like not your best version when you're hanging out with them, just limit how much you're seeing them. Maybe there are some habits that aren't really healthy for you, like you don't want to go binge drinking on weekends anymore. And so you have to set those boundaries and say no to people. And this is the cheapest way to help your mental health because you are building the courage to just say no to things or yes, and it is free. You just have to practice. Honestly, at first, it's really hard, especially if it's for some people that you think might judge you. But if they're judging you and they're your friends, that is not what a solid friendship is built off of. So you do you. You know what's going to be best for you in your heart and intuitively. Just make sure you honor that and listen to it. Okay, tip number 4, I think. This is kind of the flip side of setting boundaries, but it is to actually lean on people and use the support systems that you have in your life. So the reason I talked about setting boundaries first is because you might need to do that to then realize who the people in your life are that will actually be supportive and you can go to without feeling judged. And they are really going to be your core support system. So first, evaluate your friendships, evaluate any relationships, and then think about who you would approach. And don't be afraid to approach them because they are in your life for a reason. And if they are good friends, a good partner, a good parent, sibling, whatever it is, they will listen to you. And it is so easy to feel like a burden or like you are adding to their plate too much. And I promise you, 9 times out of 10, people are going to be there for you after you've done the boundary setting and kind of weeded out the people who you're like, you know what? I don't even want to go to them. And they are not worth my time because they do not honor this friendship the way I do and they do not respect me the way I deserve. So do the boundary setting first and then use your support system. 5th and final tip, and I know there are so many tips out there, but these were the ones that kind of were the most powerful for me, is to try out some grounding exercises or things you can do in the moment to help you right away. And these are all free. For example, you can use the 5-4-3-2-1 method. Basically, this grounds you in the present moment and it activates all of your senses. So right now, name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing that you can taste. And then that lets you really focus your attention on your physical body. It's something you can do really anywhere, in any situation, and it's quite easy to remember. Also, if you're ever on vacation or like you have a moment where you really want to remember it and you're like, wow, this is going to be a core memory, you can use this method to really try to remember the details. And I know that's kind of off topic, but I've done that before. It actually helps a lot. And it's just so nice to really remember those little details that made that memory so beautiful. And you can come back to it later and just reminisce. Of course, I'm a nostalgic person and that really resonates with me. But if it doesn't with you, you can just use that for moments where you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed and really need to ground yourself in the moment. Other than that, there's also breath work, meditation. You can find a lot of those on YouTube for free. There are some apps there that have like free trials and, you know, less of a cost commitment for like the subscription compared to therapy or some other more expensive options. So there are free or discounted things out there. It just is going to require some more work. And I'm going to try to compile a list of resources for the show notes or for like on my stories that I can share and post. And I'll ask you guys if you have any to add as well, because I think that that would be really useful and it would just be a nice resource for people to lean on when they need it for themselves, or you can send it to other people who are maybe struggling. But yeah, I really think this is super important and hopefully these tips helped. It was a bit of a shorter episode, but I just like to get these little nuggets of knowledge that are really tangible and actionable, and hopefully you feel a bit empowered and hopeful about tackling what is to come without really breaking the bank. I am going to sign off now. I hope you have an amazing day and rest of your week. I will talk to you next week. And as always, DM me if you have any questions or just want to chat about anything I talked about. And I have been forgetting to plug my own show in terms of ratings and reviews. So if you have literally 10 seconds to just go on Spotify or Apple and leave a 5-star review if you love the show, it is truly the best way you can support this podcast and it helps get it out there for other people to discover as well. So thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.